Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Jonah and Ben Play Board Games with Friends. I am Ben, joined as always by my co-host, Jonah.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Jonah, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. It's a disgusting day today. It's been literally a straight-up downpour all day.
Oh, jeez.
Pretty much since last night. So it's actually kind of funny. Really quick, funny story that has nothing to do with gaming. Because of the rain, I had a package from Amazon deliver last night that was supposed to be a replacement for something that I already had. Unfortunately, I thought it was going to fix the issue that I had with what I was trying to replace, but it didn't, so it's going back. But it was sitting out overnight in completely pouring, soaking rain all day, and the return, for the first time ever, said if I returned at a UPS store, usually the Amazon gives you that QR code that you can return with, right? And they're like, oh, don't bring a box, like, we'll pack it and ship it back, so you just like drop your thing off at UPS. But for some reason this time, all of the UPS options were bring a box. Well, I didn't have a box because the box basically melted in the water,
right?
Which was fun. So I'm going to Kohl's to return it instead because they don't require a box.
Yeah, we actually had to return something through Kohl's once, which I thought was very strange.
It's super weird. However, this time it says, bring it in original manufacturer's packaging, which also disintegrated in the water. So I'm going to be going to Kohl's with these two like stationary things. It's like one of those, you know, those like paper cutters with like the slider that goes across. It's supposed to be straight. For some reason it's on like an angle, I don't know, and I was trying to replace the one I have, but that the new one's still on an angle. It's weird. And then some scissors, and I'm returning them, but they're not gonna have the box. I'm just gonna be bringing them back because they disintegrated. So I'm interested to see what happens when I go back and they say, where's the boxes, or where are the where's the manufacturer's packaging? And I say, well, it was left overnight in the rain and disintegrated. So,
are you going to buy anything at Kohl's while you're there?
You know what? I might actually be buying something at Kohl's. I might need to grab a shirt for Patrick's wedding.
See, I was wondering what Kohl's gets out of this deal, because I did not buy anything there when I went there to return something.
I mean, I do really like Kohl's. I shop there for clothes pretty often. Like, they're close by. I find the price is pretty good. My mom loves Kohl's, so she always gets like the Kohl's cash, and she's like, oh, if you need anything at Kohl's, like, here's Kohl's cash, which is pretty good. I actually think I have Kohl's cash because I bought a pillow at Kohl's, and I have like $35 in Kohl's cash or something. So maybe I'll get a shirt for Patrick's wedding, which I might need. I don't know. I have to look through my closet and figure it out. But yeah, that's coming up soon, so it should be fun.
We can't even talk about our gifts for Patrick because he's a listener.
Well, I can talk about one gift for Patrick because I told him what the gift was because it wasn't going to arrive in time. So I was just like, look, I just want to tell you what it is because we were talking about it. And I didn't want him to buy it.
Mine might not arrive in time as well.
Well,
but
if it doesn't,
yours.
Yeah, so I go through these kicks where I like really want to play D&D and whatnot, as we've pretty much realized throughout this podcast. And for some reason, like right now, I really want to play D&D. Like, I want to run another game. I want to play another game. So I like went on Hero Forge, which is a website where you can make miniatures of your characters. And I like made myself a miniature. So I've been playing. I decided that I want to have like a character to play, not like come up with something new every time. I want to have like a character that I'm invested in that could be pretty cool. So I came up with a half orc barbarian named Eldrin Kilmash. That's his name.
I like it.
And in our most recent game, I played Eldrin Kilmash as a dragonborn barbarian, but I realized that I wanted a half orc instead. I thought it was neat. I don't know why.
That's the only reason you need.
Yeah, pretty much. So I made myself a Hero Forge miniature, and they allow you to print the miniatures in color now. So Hero Forge, basically what it is just a website where you can go online and you pick out options for miniatures. So you can pick like the species of character. You can pick like their head style. You can pick their hairstyle, their armor, all sorts of stuff. And then your miniature gets 3D printed on a resin printer. If you own a resin printer or you know someone who does, you could also buy the STL file, which is just the 3D printable file, instead of having HeroForge themselves print it for you. But they now offer, since their most recent Kickstarter, which I think was like ended the beginning of this year, was when it like launched, they actually offer color miniatures. So the printer prints in color. So you can paint your miniature online and then get it printed with like colors. And Patrick usually plays a character named Lionel, who's like a very cocky pirate, swashbuckler guy. And I showed him the miniature that I made, and he thought it was really neat. And I knew that he was like starting to build a miniature himself. And I was like, you know what? This would be like a neat wedding gift. And this is going to go along with another thing that I'm getting him that he doesn't know about yet. But Patrick, you're getting something else for me. It's going to be from Ashley and myself, and I think you're going to love it. And I didn't want him to like build it and order a miniature before, you know, I ended up doing it. So I told him that I got it for him, and I sent him like the render of it and what it's supposed to look like. And he thinks it's really cool. So he's really excited about it. So that was one of the two things I got for him.
Awesome. Semi-relatedly, just for custom D&D stuff, Jordan told me that he bought a super cheap TV off of Kijiji, which is Canadian Craigslist. And he and his dad are working together to make a table with, you know, the screen as the playmat to play on all these custom apps and stuff.
Yeah, he was telling me about this. We were having a chat on Discord as well, and he mentioned it. And I've actually thought about doing something similar at some point. But I don't know how to best to do it, but it seems really neat. And I mean, you can buy them or you can just find them, because a lot of times the animated ones are Patreon specific, but you can get like animated battle maps. So like water will be flowing, or like if you're on an airship, like clouds will fly by. And obviously on a TV screen, that looks great. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how that turns out when he gets it all set up. I want to see photos and stuff.
Yeah, he Jordan, has if you're listening. One picture.
Yeah, Jordan, if you're listening, don't leave me out of the pictures.
He said he's taking before and after pictures, and he's going to send you a great album once it's all done.
Oh, perfect. I'm excited.
All right, board games, I guess. Oh, I guess I can report that I started a job this week.
Oh, like you started or you are starting?
Started, yeah. On Wednesday last week, I started working at this warehouse. And the hours are not my favorite. In fact, they are my least favorite hours imaginable. Oh,
you didn't get the ones you wanted?
But that's only because it's for the week of training. And I have to have a schedule that matches the person who is training me's schedule.
What are they, normal person hours?
Yeah, 9 to 6. But I don't like getting home at 6:20 and then cooking dinner.
Yeah, six is meh. Like if it's 9 to 5, I'm okay with that. But
right. Well, it's 9 to 6 with an hour long lunch break that I can't shorten. So.
Well, for now.
No.
Or ever.
Ever. The person training me has been working there for 4 years, and she said that she has asked multiple times if her lunch hour can be half an hour, and they said no.
Oh, see, so. that's pretty funny, because where I'm at, I work 8 to 4:30, but we only get a half hour lunch, and they say they're flexible. So if you want to take like a longer lunch, you can and just stay later. However, your flexibility needs to line up with other people's meeting schedule, which sucks, because I like to eat sometime between noon and one. It doesn't need to be at noon, but it's sometime between noon and one. And I like an hour lunch, because for me, if I want to go get something, by the time I get it and come back, my lunch is basically over. The problem is everybody seems to schedule meetings for 1 p.m. Like, why are you scheduling a meeting right when lunch is supposed to end? It's such a pain, because then if somebody like if I want to take a lunch later, I can't. Mm-hmm. I have to wait until after the meeting, or I have to force myself to eat early. It's really annoying. So, yeah, I would love to switch and take your longer lunch. You could take my shorter lunch.
Well, right now, my lunch is from 1 to 2, and when my schedule does shift, which I'm very much looking forward to a 6 to 3 schedule, lunch will be at 11. but lunch at 11 is fine if I'm eating breakfast at 5:30.
Yeah, that's true. That's too early for me, but I know you, so.
That's right. And switching to that schedule will enable me to play board games during the week again.
Yeah.
And speaking of board games during the week.
Whoa, no way.
I played some board games during the week.
Woohoo. Was anything really good? Anything new?
Anything new? No. Just oldies but goodies. So I played Star Realms 3-player with Rob and Jason because they have not played Star Realms before and they both really like deck builders. So brought over Star Realms, and then we played Bus after that.
I saw that photo.
It was the nicest game of Bus I have ever played. There were like no mean moves made during it. I wasn't making mean moves because it was their first time playing.
Yeah.
But then they also never made any mean moves. So it was a very high scoring game. And it was very not Bus, which was strange. And then we played Clank Legacy. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes when we talk about Clank again. But the last game that I played was Inish, or Innis, however you want to say it. Oh, I guess I also played Silver and Gold, but
quick games like that, it's hard to remember. It's hard to like count.
Exactly. But Inish went interestingly. It was kind of a slow game, and it was three people who had played before, one new player. The teach was kind of iffy. I was not the teacher, and it was kind of a three-headed monster teach, and I chimed in a time or two, even though I didn't want to, because I think a good rule for teaching is one game, one teacher.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that person has a plan for how they want to teach stuff, because when I teach stuff, I always have a plan for how I want to teach it, and then when someone chimes in with something later in the game, it's like, no, I'll get to that in a second. I'm structuring this teach this way for a reason. Anyway, there were things that had to be brought up during the teach that I chimed in on. And I was reminded of how tough of a game Inish is to get through your head just win condition-wise. So Inish has three different win conditions, and you can win by satisfying one of them. But you also have to take a token called the Pretender Token to say, I'm about to win. And then if someone else also has a Pretender Token, but neither of you are the Bren, then no one wins. It's just this mess of win conditions for your first play or two. And I have a huge gripe with Inish, and that is that these player aids, you know, it's just like a small standard card player aid, they don't have the win conditions on it.
Oh, weird. I know we played online, so.
Right, so we just made a text box and wrote down the three win conditions.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing to not have the win conditions in a normal game where it's like have the most points, you know, that's easy to remember. But when it's these three different win conditions that can be changed by having a deed, it seemed like we were all just playing this aimless game of Inish. You know, we didn't really have these goals at the forefront of our minds. And it was really weird. We just kind of added some people, kind of fought, kind of didn't fight, played some cards, did some things. And yeah, I think that Inish desperately needs to have the win conditions front and center for a better game.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Did you play anything?
I'm just going to say straight up, I played nothing this week. I'm a terrible board game podcast host. Because I'm on my mini D&D kick, I did start cutting out, I would say. I don't know. They're on sprues, on plastic sprues, but I got all that like Dungeons and Lasers terrain, which are like the flat pack, like 3D terrain that you can just like pop together and assemble. And they're very easy to paint. So I'm cutting them out in anticipation of painting my dungeon terrain, because there's a chance that I'm running a D&D game for Ashley and her mom.
Wow, that'll be exciting.
So, I mean, I haven't played board games, but I've done board game related things. So, yeah, I mean,
wonderful. We can also talk about two very long time coming board game updates.
Yes.
Blood on the Clock Tower pushed out an update for their pre-production copy. It looks good. I'm excited to play that again, but with Delta variant and not doing mass indoor gatherings, you know, the delay still doesn't bother me that much.
Yep.
And then on your end,
I have a couple things on my end, but I'm finally starting to get my Kingdom Death stuff back. It's not painted. As far as I know, it's not built. I'm getting the bulk of my stuff back tomorrow. But as I told you and Patrick, and as it turned out, in some weird twist of fate, the painter accidentally painted three of my expansions, the Dung Beetle Knight, Gorm, and the Lion God, for an over, how would I describe this person?
Over-litigious?
Someone who was going to sue him in some capacity, and just was very overactive in like messaging him, and it like overwhelmed him, I guess. And he painted three of my expansions for this guy who was lying about what he sent in. So turns out over the course of 2.5 years, three of my expansions were painted, but they weren't painted for me. They looked
makes
really
it feel
good.
That much worse not getting them.
Yeah. Also, what makes it feel that much worse is it's literally the color scheme that I wanted for my paint job. So they were 100% perfect. Like if they came to me, it was exactly what I wanted. And I've ranted about this whole paint situation before. Well, I'll do it one more time. I'm going to end this on as a person, I feel bad about what is going on, especially after the fact he had to go on eBay to buy two of the expansions to replace them for me, and Gorm alone cost $400. The base game for Kingdom Death Monster is $400, which is a lot, obviously. And I bought all three of the expansions for $125 on Black Friday in 2018.
That's an expensive mistake.
He spent $670 buying me three new expansions.
Oh.
So as a person, I feel bad. As a customer, I do not feel bad.
Right.
You know, he owes me those expansions, so he had to get them somehow. And I have already lined up a new painter, because as
oh,
I
that's
said,
good.
Yeah. So this is probably the last game I'm going to get commission painted, because this is very much soured commission painting for me. But Kingdom Death is still the game that I want painted by somebody who isn't me, because I want it to look good. It is an investment style game. Like it's not a game that I'm just going to slap a garbage paint job on and be like, oh, this looks good. Like I want it to look good. So I'm going with a professional. It is a company with multiple painters. I don't need to pay them up front in any way. So this other guy was half up front, half when I'm done. These guys are pay by credit card, which was something that was important to me now. Not PayPal friends and family. Pay by credit card 2 weeks before it's finished, which is fine by me because I'm going to get to see progress before I pay anything. But I did get all of that lined up. So there was no way that I was going to be willing to wait on Black Friday to get the new expansions. So I'm glad he sent them to me early or bought them early. I did receive all three of them over the weekend, and I've already sent out the expansions. And then the rest of my stuff is coming back tomorrow, at which point I will look it over and then forward it to the new painter. So that's exciting.
How did you find these people?
These guys I had talked to before. They were recommended because at one point I was looking to magnetize my Kingdom Death minis. So each armor kit comes with like four options per person. So you can have like an axe or a sword, and you can like choose how you want to build your minis. This company did magnetizing, so they would put tiny little magnets in like all of the sockets and on all of the components, and you could basically change your miniature. They came highly recommended for that. Unfortunately, I didn't realize that would require my painter to paint 4 times the amount of stuff because they would need to paint every option if I was getting them magnetized.
Right.
So I didn't do that. So I actually reached out to them again, and my message before I started this like commission chat was, let's see, I reached out on August 13th. Before that, the last time I talked to them was December 8th, 2018. So I reached out to them. So that's how long it's been since I sent my minis to the other guy. And they sent me a folder full of their, you know, examples. And I looked through them. I was going to go with like a higher level of painting, which was just an outrageous sum of money. But then I looked at their tabletop folder, which is technically a lower level of paint than I was going to get from the other guy, but they looked really, really good. And if I'm just playing with them, I mean, I'm just going to go with, and that's their lowest level, like cheapest level. So I'm going with that. They look really good. The guy even told me, he's like, to be honest, if you go at a higher level, people have told us that they're too worried to even like touch the models because of how high quality the paint job is, which humble brag, I guess, but I mean, I can believe it. Like there are some minis that just look so good. Like you don't want to touch them. But yeah, so I'm excited. It's been a 3-year project and I just figured now it was just time to just bite the bullet and just go with a like legit company and get it done because I've wanted it done for 3 years. I'm sick of being angry about what's been going on. I want it done. So it'll be done. So yeah, that's a big one for me. Almost as long is, if we're talking about Kickstarters real quick, almost as long is Seize the Bean. Seize the Bean has shipped. It's not on its way to me yet, but it is on its way to America. I think it's pretty close.
That's awesome.
Last I checked. So yeah, that's coming too. I'm really excited to play that.
You'll have to bring it to Portland when you visit us.
I mean, everyone out there likes, oh no, that's Seattle with the coffee, but Portland's hipstery too. They'll probably like it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I will bring it though.
We went disc golfing this morning with a friend and he asked us if we are coffee drinkers and we both said no. And he's like, how do you not drink coffee? I need it to survive.
I don't drink coffee either. I'm at work filling up my cup with some hot chocolate. That'll wake me up enough. Really quick on the disc golf subject, because the title of today's episode is what it is. What happened?
I got an ace.
Hey!
I got a hole in one on a 165 foot disc golf hole. Very short.
Ace is an ace.
But it felt good because the last two times I have gotten a 4 on this. That's right, a 4 on a 165 foot hole.
And
that's because there is a stream in front of the basket. And the first time I threw it and it went just next to the basket. And I putted and hit the basket, and then it rolled into the stream. That felt very bad. The second time, I just threw it, and it went straight into the stream. So, yeah, it was a really good course still. It's fun and quick, and it's just kind of in this little ravine almost. I don't know. It's this really steep valley, and they just have these baskets dotted across it. And it's, you know, it's a 9-hole course. Probably 1,000 feet in distance
total.
Yeah, so
yeah,
but it's good, it's cool.
Yeah,
I think I have to see how well I did, but it was good to go with my own discs because like I said, the first time I went it was for that tournament.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I went -8.
Oh nice, that's always fun.
-8 with no bogeys, which felt really good because that water is sketchy.
Yeah. Did you see they're doing a professional tournament at Stafford Woods this weekend?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, not many tournaments come to New Jersey. I've said a few times, like, I don't think there are that many. I mean, there are a few tournament level or pro level courses in New Jersey, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a ton, though. But it's really cool to see them play Stafford Woods, like, because I've played there before. So it's neat. It's neat to, like, watch professionals play the course that I played.
I'd want to compare scores.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're playing from the long tees, but I'll be honest, I don't think Stafford Woods is that difficult. I mean, from the short tees.
Mm-hmm.
I know I went with Kevin, and Kevin is actually, he was spectating today. which is pretty cool. He went down there to spectate. Let's see. I'm going to go look because I haven't played that many courses in the last. Stafford Woods. Kevin and I both went one under for the first time we were there. So, wow, and I almost aced.
Really?
Yeah, I lipped out on one basket. So I threw my signal, which is like the really understable disc, and it just flipped up on like this beautiful line. It clipped a like a hanging leaf, slowed down, spun off the rim, like flat. It went flat off the rim of the basket and slid through, and I birdied. It felt so bad to see it.
That would have been great. It
lip out, but yeah, it was really cool. So Stafford Woods is great. I mean, it's one of my top courses that I played. So if you get back here and haven't played it yet, I'd love to go if we have the time. But yeah, I mean, quick disc golf aside.
That's right. Quick disc golf aside. Let's talk about Clank since we talked about it a year ago, and I'm playing the Legacy version. I actually have not played Clank in the last year except for Legacy. And I will say that the Legacy game is going well. We are, I believe, 5 or 6 games into it now. And I think I said this last time as well, but it's feeling a little samey for my taste. Mm. So Pandemic Legacy and, Legacy 0, 1, and 2, I think a lot of the legacy was in the gameplay changes and different goals, whereas this is on... I wouldn't even say character building or development. It's just kind of on flavor and single game goals. So it's like, oh, there's a book on this spot, and when you get there, read this thing. And then you just go and do that. So there is definitely a story woven through the campaign, but there aren't enough gameplay changes for my liking.
Yeah. And this is... Clank Legacy is based off of Acquisitions Incorporated, right? Which is I know it's like a D&D group similar to Critical Role.
That, yeah, so...
You know, is like an adventuring party.
That might be a big part of why this is falling semi-flat story-wise for me, because it's based off of an intellectual property that I don't know anything about and therefore don't care about.
Yeah.
You know, if it were like Clank Legacy, Lord of the Rings, I'm sure I would be super gung-ho about the story. But it's just, you know, this no-name adventuring group that we are a part of. So I'm sure there are tons of call-outs and throwbacks and whatever is in this story that we're just not getting at all.
Yeah, that's true. There might be those. I've never really listened to Acquisitions Incorporated. I'm confused by how they even operate. They have like an A team, a B team, and a C team. So they have like a bunch of it's like, imagine Critical Role, and then they had the main cast of Critical Roles, the A team, and then there's like a subcast that just like rides the coattails of the A team and plays their own game. But I guess they do different styles of gameplay. So like the C team might be like the comedy type group, like they might have more funny adventures. I don't really know. I've only listened to it a few times and I don't really love the characters. Mm-hmm. But just for people listening out there, if there is another D&D stream that you would like to watch, I highly recommend Dimension 20. They run this thing called Fantasy High. It's like high schoolers. I literally just binged like the whole thing. It's only like 17 episodes, but I binged like the whole thing in the last like week and a half. And it is like one of the most entertaining things I've watched. So I will throw that out there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know Acquisitions Incorporated either. So it might fall flat for me as well. I'm still interested in trying it because I did enjoy traditional Clank, which I also haven't played in a while, but
yeah, it's neat. We actually, this last game that we had was very okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that we only played Clank one time that night, and it was our last game after playing Star Realms and Bus, because, you know, we've been playing it twice, maybe thrice in an evening. And I think if we had started with this game, we would have just packed it up right after that anyway. So there's the... I only know Star Realms terms, which is the problem, but there's the trade row. There's the row of cards that you can buy. Yeah, the market. But in Clank Legacy, Well, I guess just in Clank standard, there are monsters that can come out in that row as well that you'll have to fight, which is a really neat system because it's a third resource to have in your cards. Instead of purchase power and movement, you also have fighting power. And, you know, in some games, like in hardback, if there are too many cards in the offer row that cost more than 6 cents, you can wipe the row and totally refresh it. I don't think that exists in Clank. And the reason that's a problem is because this last game we played, the row was, I think, entirely the monsters. And not only was it entirely monsters, but one of the monsters was a danger monster, which means when you pull cubes out of the bag, you pull an extra cube.
Yeah.
So we couldn't fight them, we couldn't buy other cards, and we could barely move because there was the damage coming out.
Yeah.
So it was really rough, but I'll have to look at the rules again, because surely there's a way to wipe the row. It seems weird that there wouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that would be built into most deck builders. I mean, even if I recall correctly, even Dune Imperium had a wiping mechanism, and Greg or Patrick can chime in on that later, but I'm pretty sure that there was a wiping mechanism for that as well. I think you spend spice or something like that. I don't remember. You know, I know we touched on quickly during the week, we saw that thread on Reddit that was like games that have replaced other games for you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny that I brought up Dune Imperium, because since playing Clank, while I haven't played it in a while, there aren't a ton of games that I've played that combine a board with deck building along with like moving along a board. It seems like deck building is pure deck building, or it's, you know, a very minor aspect of a game. And I feel like if I were going to answer that question of games that have replaced other games at this point, I would rather play Dune Imperium than Clank.
Mm-hmm.
Just from what I recall about Clank. But I do like that, you know, Clank has that push your luck added as well. I think it's, you know, drawing from the danger bag was always, you know, something interesting, because you're trying to figure out, oh, is it going to be one of my cubes coming out, or, you know, someone else's? And I like push your luck games. I think they're a lot of fun. So
right.
I like for that reason.
I definitely like Clank more than Lost Ruins of Arnak. Mm-hmm. Just the other, you know, deck building with a board game.
Yeah.
But that is probably because I just wasn't too fond of that one.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. But,
so do you have any games scheduled for this next week, Ben?
This next week is even more packed than so my brother's coming back from Florida, so I'm picking him up. Saturday, I might try and get some games in, but I don't know the best way to do so. I'm going to see if maybe I can play some online games during the week, just to, you know, get back on Tabletop Simulator. So
yeah, let me know.
I'll throw out my availability in the Discord and see if anybody bites.
Excellent. Yeah. And then,
because I'd like to be a good host and have stuff to talk about on the next episode.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get Paul on this next episode.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Yeah. And I'm going to start thinking now, worst board game experiences.
It'll be fun. I think it's going to be a fun one to talk about. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, just because I have not much going on, you know, gameplay wise at the moment, I mean, I can do a little mini impromptu Ben's Backings.
Let's hear it.
I mean, I know we talked about Kickstarters, you know, as is. So I do have like some updates are coming through like pretty slowly. But yeah, since I haven't done a Ben's Backings in a while, there is a lot of stuff that I've, you know, backed since, but I'm going to talk about a few that I think are neat. There is obviously Iridia, The Paths We Dare Tread.
Right. By Corey, whatever his name is.
Cody Miller.
That's
it. Far Off Games. So Cody Miller has designed Shea, which we've talked about a lot. And they are probably one of two companies that I would consider Instaback games on Kickstarter, which is, you know, a game where if this company puts a game out, I'll most likely back it. I know for a fact Mind Clash Games, I will back any game that they put on Kickstarter at this point. And Far Off Games, just on the back of Shea, is one of them. But Iridia is their newest game, and it's kind of Gloomhaven-esque.
Do they have a rule book up or anything, or no?
I mean, I'm back to my old ways of, I barely looked at the page. So,
Employed.
Now that I'm selling a house and I have a little bit of disposable income, I knew I wanted this one, so I didn't really look. I do think that they've uploaded a rule book in their last update, but I'll triple check. But it's kind of like Gloomhaven-esque. And, you know, while I'm definitely backing this one, it might just be another game that ends up on a pile of like this style game that I barely get to play, because mm-hmm. it's hard for me to find a group to come play. Like, it's really difficult for me to find a group to consistently meet up and play. But what I think is neat as a bling nerd is the interchangeable minis. So they have essentially made miniatures where you can replace the heads on every mini. So the bodies are all standard, but any of the playable characters, if you want to change like the race of the character or the gender of the character, you can pop the head off and put a new head on and change who you're playing as, which I think is really cool. So they're going to have, I think they have 12, so six races, a male and female character per race, and you can play as one of those 12. So I think it'll be neat because I can use them in D&D if I want to. They're pre-painted as well, so, you know, if I want to use them as like D&D characters, I can. So that'll be nice. And then the other big one, and I don't know if we brought it up in any episodes, but I know we've talked about it with Patrick on the side, is the Avatar Legends role-playing game.
Right.
It's now at $6.8 million.
Wow.
It's a role-playing game that's based on the Apocalypse system, which is a 2d6 role-playing game system. But it's based on Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. Which is awesome. I love that series. I'm basically on my yearly rewatch right now. I've started it again. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be cool. I mean, I've always imagined like homebrewing a D&D game in this world, because I just think like the bending is just such a cool mechanic to add in. So I'm really interested to see how this game works. And I like that they have different eras. So you can play in like Avatar Kyoshi's era, which is like three eras back from Avatar Aang. So like they even describe, so I'll do like a quick description, but like Kyoshi's era is, it says, play in Kyoshi's era if you want to fight in brutal battles against rogues and bandits and deal with governmental corruption as the nations defend and reinforce their borders. Or you could play in Korra's era. Play in Korra's era if you want to deal with the repercussions of imperialism and play in a modernized era. So like they've split it up with environments that you can play in, which I think is a really neat way to tie all of the universe together that we've learned about through the show and the comics and stuff.
Yeah, I saw there was the era of like Iroh's time in the war, which was strange.
Yeah, the 100-year war.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to rebel against unjust rule, protect the weak, and stand up to tyranny. Yeah, seems neat. And then, of course, I mean, there's just the bling that goes with it. So, like, custom dice, like a special edition hardcover book, which is like a holographic Avatar State Aang with Avatar State Korra on the back, which is just so sick. So, I mean, I don't know. It's awesome.
It looks really sweet.
So I'm not surprised it's at 6.8 million, but at the same time, it's a role-playing game. I guarantee you 3/4 of the people backing this don't even know what a tabletop role-playing game is. But I'm excited. So when that comes in, it comes in.
Do you know the estimated time of arrival? Yeah.
February 2022.
That's not too bad.
Depending on how far along they are, you know, it's not that bad. And it's based off of an existing system. So they're only just, you know, they're taking the rule set and modifying it for this, you know, this story. And they already have a quick start game trial. So you can download like a prompt and work your way through the game already, like a little mini, like one shot. So I believe that that's a, you know, a feasible delivery date. I think the hardest part is going to be the supply chain. If they have issues printing the books or getting the dice, I think that's where they'd run into issues. But other than that, I think it's going to be pretty smooth. It's also backed by like freaking Nickelodeon. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, like they actually have to go through Nickelodeon to get approval for stretch goals and stuff. So
hopefully there will not be any sketchy extra shipping charges since it's through such a big company.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I'm excited for that one. All right, that wraps up this episode of Jonah and Ben Play Board Games with Friends. Thanks for joining. Hopefully we can get Paul on the next one to talk about some pretty bad gaming experiences, which I think should be pretty fun.
It'll be a bad time.
Yeah, it'll be a bad time for everyone. But yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks to Louisa for the great music throughout.